You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, hey, if you're getting around my advanced years, you're probably thinking about retirement. Can you ever possibly afford to do it? And then, even if you can afford to do it, are you going to be able to basically do it without going crazy? That's really the question here. Drew Pelton is with us to address these important issues here, how not to go crazy in retirement. And obviously, if you're more financially set, then the odds are more likely that you're going to enjoy your retirement. Drew, hey, tell us here, retirement, what does it mean exactly? Because I think you take it for granted what it really means. But don't you think that over the years, especially in the baby boomers, that retirement, the whole concept of it has changed?
Well, I think the concept has changed for a number of reasons. One, the world has changed. There's a lot of pressures, such as inflation, et cetera. I find it interesting to me that when I first came up in the business a number of decades ago, in my 42nd year, I used to hear this, oh, you can retire on 60, 70% of your income right before you retire. And I used to think, I mean, nobody said anything to me, but intuitively I thought to myself, this makes no sense to me whatsoever. Why would I want to retire on less than I'm making right before I retire? And in today's world, there's so much opportunity, in spite of all the crazy COVID-19 thing in the last couple of years, people can really enjoy themselves in retirement, and it costs money. And if you don't plan adequately, save enough, and have enough income, you could have some serious issues. And you ultimately may not be enjoying your retirement like you'd like to, or maybe thought you would.
All right. So, but the concept of retirement, of actually, working for the same company for 12 years, rather for 30 years, getting your gold watch, and then pursuing your hobbies and having this blessed life where you put in 30 years of misery, many of you out there, to get this gold, to enjoy your golden years, and then you die, right? Hopefully we've evolved a bit from that, haven't we?
Yeah, well, certainly we have, because, I think it's a great thing when people do keep a job for 30, 35 years, but that's certainly not the way it is for many. I mean, particularly with the younger generation, they seem to hop around a lot more. But it does seem like people have had multiple careers. I'm here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and that's the capital of Louisiana. We have a lot of government workers who do go that 30, 35 years and still have a pension. But most people around the country do not have a pension. They don't stay at one company, and there is a burden on them to have to save in their 401k plans or 403b plans, et cetera.
All right. Yeah. So basically, it's a very small segment, relatively speaking, of the population that actually puts in their 20, 30, 40 years and goes off into retirement. And the rest of us are left to pretty much fend for yourself. And so strategies for figuring this out, for doing it, how do you actually make it so that you don't outlive your money?
Well, you have to start with saving enough, number one, and being disciplined in a consistent way to save enough money to have enough of a principal, enough of a pot of money, assuming, you know, this is thinking most people don't have a pension, so they've got to, they don't have earned income, so they have to use unearned income, they have to use income from their assets. And so assuming one has done an okay job at least, or an adequate job of saving adequate principal, then the question is how do you generate sufficient income from that principal without having to deplete your main savings, your principal? And a lot of that has to do with knowing how to invest. And one of the big things we do in our firm is emphasize investing for income, dividends and interest from assets that generate enough of a yield, 4 or 5%, let's say at least, that we're even with your RMDs, your required minimum distribution starting at age 72, you can have enough income to preserve your principal and have the sufficient income you need.
Okay. So this requires a bit of planning, a bit of discipline. The very concept of savings means that you are deferring consumption to a later point in time so you can hopefully earn a return on your savings and have more later, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's the name of the game, if I may say. Social Security is probably not going to get the job done for most retirees, whatever that average might be, 18,000, 24,000. Some who've had higher incomes might have over $3,000 a month. But even at that level, that's normally not enough for most people to have a satisfactory income, retirement income. So they've got to generate income from their retirement nest egg.
All right. So what about the concept of real estate? Because real estate, besides if you're buying raw land, is basically cash flow intensive, or you're doing flips, whatever. But you know what I'm saying? If you're buying real estate for income.
I think it can work for people if they've done that or they know what they're doing. I often use the real estate analogy regarding preserving principal, meaning, let's say, the value of a house that may have little fluctuation in value, or at least some growth, but you can think of the real estate as rental income. So I think if you're suggesting, could someone integrate that into their income planning, I think it's good. But I also think it's a good analogy, if you don't invest in real estate, to think of your liquid assets as that principal as the house, and think of the income you generate from yields, dividends, and interest as that rental income. What do you need in retirement? You need income. Income. What do you live on? What dictates your lifestyle? Income.
Right. All right. So many of you out there have seen major increases in the value of your home and are feeling perhaps wealthier maybe than you should. What do you tell this person? Should you sell your home now when the going is good and downsize? What do you do?
Well, I think like in any retirement plan, it's always an individual situation. Perhaps it is wise to downsize, just because as one gets older, maybe the upkeep of the house isn't as good, but maybe someone needs to do that, to downsize, to get some profit out of the house and put that money to work. I mean, that could work. But I do know, particularly for us, and how I would recommend for anybody, you've got to have an individual plan. You've got to have a customized, tailored plan for you. And normally it does get down to, what income do you need? So if a lot of your wealth and your net worth is tied up in a house, let's assume you paid off your mortgage, perhaps it does make sense to downsize and free up capital so you can have more money, more income, and have a better lifestyle.
Okay. So to this feeling of the wealth effect, your stock market, your asset prices are up, you're feeling wealthy, you go spend money, that's kind of counter to your to your retirement planning in a lot of cases, isn't it?
Well, it is, particularly when the opposite or the reverse of up markets, of a robust market like we had in the year 2021, just last year, and now we're seeing some volatility. If there's a decline, then how are, what are you thinking? I mean, one of the biggest mistakes I see that people make is they're all happy and myopic about the capital gains and capital appreciation that they have. And when that capital appreciation turns into capital losses, and then you're taking money then out of your asset, and if you keep taking out the same amount of money and you're trying to keep up with that same money you took at the top of the market, where you're selling more shares at a lower stock value price, then that's how people start to run out of money. Because if you're selling more shares and the market keeps declining, by the time the market starts coming back up, you're going to have less shares, and people go through in retirement maybe a couple of losses like that. And that ends up being one of the reasons why people can run out of money.
Right. So if you're way ahead in your stock portfolio now, is now the time to sell? Put some of that money, redeploy it into cash flowing assets?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Torque Resources is an exploration company establishing a portfolio of premier copper gold early stage projects in Chile. Torque's management and technical teams have a strong track record of raising capital, discovery, and monetization of exploration successes. The company's Margarita Copper Gold project is located within the prolific coastal Cordillera belt in Chile, which hosts some of the world's largest and most profitable copper mines. The Margarita project possesses excellent discovery potential for a major copper discovery due to the strength of the alteration system, large-scale magnetic targets, and the presence of copper oxide mineralization. Drilling is anticipated to begin in Q3 of this year. Torque trades in Canada under TORQ and on the OTC under TRBMF. To learn more, go to TorqueResources.com. That's TorqueResources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
I would say maybe, probably, makes sense. Follows that old guideline, sell high. You know, everybody says, buy low, sell high. But how many people really do that? I love the typical stockbroker only who just preaches that thing of buy low, sell high. And then when the market's high, then what do they say? Hey, you got to stay in, you got to stay in. It's always the stay in, you got to stay fully invested kind of talk. And that can get people into trouble. Balance. And a diversified portfolio and allocations where you have more stability of principal in bond and bond-like types of instruments can often make excellent sense for most retirees. Because I do find most retirees tell me that they're conservative, they want to be more conservative, they want more stability of principal. And the most important thing for them is to make sure that they have adequate income and that they don't run out of money, because long-term care costs could be a big need in the future, and people feel like they want to have that asset there.
So where do you think most people should be looking now as far as retirement goes? And I know that's not totally fair because, let's face it, everybody's situation is different, but stock market valuations looks like it's close to peaking, if it hasn't already. Precious metals, they've been a roller coaster ride, all these different things. I guess the question is, you got to put together a strategy. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, by the way, I think we could very well be at a peak, but a balance of equity and bond-like types of instruments. And I know as fast as I say that, I could just almost hear somebody responding and saying, oh, well, you know, interest rates are going up, bond values are going to go down. Yes, understood. But it's more bond-like instruments that generate income. Now, preferreds would be something to look at. Now, preferreds are a stock, but they pay a stated dividend. Or REITs, real estate investment trust. And we believe that they should be tradable REITs. or BDCs, business development corporations, that throw off income that are more predictable and dependable. So a balance between income types of investments, bond and bond-like instruments, and equities, at whatever risk tolerance you may or may not have is you know, should be looked at. But I think most people are so used to being in the stock market, stay in the stock market. That's the only way to go. Diversify, conservative, by they what most call conservative is growth funds or blue chip stock funds. And if you're going to be a moderate, you're in value funds as an example. There are other choices for sure.
All right. So when we're looking at investing, it always is balancing risk against return, all of that. What's the best way to measure risk in your experience, Drew?
Well, I think history is certainly one way to do that. You know, you could look at it in a secular way or a cyclical way in terms of the stock market. A lot of people aren't aware of the secular market history, that how the stock market works. But I think that, you know, whether the history is the global look or whether it's specific to a particular asset or a particular company, you know, one of the ways we minimize risk is we personally in our practice use individual securities. So you could look at an individual company and say, what's the performance of the company? Or you could, people are using mutual funds, which we have a tendency to think that that's not the best way to go because it tends to be cookie cutter. But you could look at the history of that mutual fund and say, how has that performed? You can look at beta, you know, the measurement of volatility for that particular asset or standard deviation. So there are financial measurements that can be assessed or looked at to measure what the amount of risk is. Now, on the other hand, there are the class of assets of bond and bond-like instruments, generally speaking, has had much less risk than the common stock market. So right. Categorically, that's a, you know, that would make sense, but then you have to look at the individual assets.
Different type of risk in bonds, your inflation. So we're going with inflation, with the inflation theme or meme. Obviously, it's here, probably here to stay for quite a while, Drew, based on history, as you say. How do you beat inflation? I remember Gerald Ford's button was win, whip inflation now. So how do you whip inflation in your investing strategy?
Well, I think I need to quickly say, and I think most would easily agree, it's not easy at 7% inflation and maybe getting higher and going the distance, you know, probably more than we want. So having said that, you know, part of it is the things I'm saying is if you can get adequate yields, and this is one of the biggest issues and problems that I see that investors have. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said it's a big if, but yes, if you can.
Yeah. And, you know, not trying to overly toot our horn, but our equity portfolio last year generated a dividend of 4.3% compared to the S&P 500 average of 1.5%. So how can one do that? Well, that takes selective choosing of investments, particularly individual securities. Most mutual funds don't do that. Often if they do, they have more risk than most people want. But using individual securities that have a history of paying high yields can be helpful. Now, also, how do we beat inflation? That's really the topic on the table here, which is, perhaps with gains in the market, you can use part of the appreciation also. I mean, in the long run, that'll be helpful. But then you have to weigh the risk return factor at the same time. Okay. It's challenging. I mean, at this rate of inflation, it's challenging.
So 4.3% to And I assume there was some capital appreciation as well. But yes. So you going for dividend aristocrats or near dividend nobility? What's the angle there?
Well, part of the angle I mentioned earlier can be preferreds. You know, and for those that, you know, we say preferreds, it's a preferred stock. It's a, not every company issues a preferred stock that pays a stated yield. So, you know, that's one way to go. But also generally in the common stock market, there are companies that pay high dividends. You know, I think even just right now, and you know, we think about, well, how are we going to how long are we going to keep AT&T? Because we always do the research and analysis on every security in the portfolio. But you know, AT&T is paying an 8% plus dividend right now. That's, you know, that's incredible. And you know, we're looking for those opportunities. But what's the risk affiliated with that? You know, et cetera. Well, so it's handpicked. We got it's we're handpicking the individual securities to get the job done.
All right. So obviously AT&T, higher risk, a risk that they're going to cut that dividend. Often dividend yields are highest right before they're cut. It's something that no company wants to do. But Motley Fool seems to think that they're going to cut their dividend yield for 2022. Are you better off getting out of that stock, waiting for the cut, so all the bad news has come out, and then seeing what happens?
Possibly. You know, what I'll say is one of the things that we do in our portfolios, and I say portfolios because every investor has their own individual portfolio, is we follow the prudent man rule. And, you know, or maybe we have to definitely say in this world of wokeism, et cetera, you know, the prudent person rule, maybe the prudent woman rule, which is don't have any more than 5% in any one asset.
Right.
So, you know, if one had, you know, 100 securities as an example, and let's just say it averaged 1 or 2%, which we try to keep the amount of assets, percentage of the assets in the portfolio only at, you know, 1, 2, 3%, as an example. So, you know, getting out might be okay. I know we're, you know, those are discussions going on internally, but it might be a good idea to, you know, get out sooner than later before one takes the hit.
Yeah, it could be the prudent Karen rule. But yeah, understood. Hey, there's always risk. You always got to make a decision. Even when you don't make a decision, you're making a decision not to make one, as we all know. And that could be the worst possible decision. Drew, I know people out there are going to want to contact you, find out more about what you do. How do we find you on the web, connect with you over the web?
Well, Kerry, first of all, thank you for having me on. And, you know, thanks for asking that. But my firm here in Baton Rouge, you can reach us on our telephone, 225-831-1394. That's 225-831-1394. Or you could go to our website, drewpelton.com, www.drewpelton.com.
Excellent. And you'll find a link to that site in the show notes of this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for your free newsletter. You got a question for Drew, you can always send us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. We'll get you an answer. Drew, been a pleasure, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure also. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.